In fact, he makes us, the scripture says, a brand new creation in Christ Jesus. And that's what we as Christians are. And after we have this new life, after we put off, the Bible says, that old man, given up that old man that has nothing for us, and we begin to walk after the Spirit and not after the flesh. In other words, we begin to mind the things of the Spirit and not the things of the flesh. Now, there is a conflict between the flesh and the Spirit. And this is what most of us have in our lives, the conflict between the flesh and the Spirit. But the Bible tells us that there is a way to walk. And if we be obedient to what God tells us in His Word, then we'll find that we can have peace and happiness in our lives. So this is what we want to see in the Epistle to John. And I like this. I think everyone should read this epistle over and over and over. It's a very short one, but it talks to the little children, the children of God. And if you believe in Christ, then you're a child of God, and it's talking to you. And you read it over and over and over because it has so much in it for us as Christians. Shall we bow our head? Heavenly Father, we're so thankful that You've allowed us to assemble together here. And we thank You, Father, that here in America that we still have the privilege that we can assemble like this and we can proclaim the good news that Jesus came, He died, was buried, but rose again, that we do have a living Savior that is able to save to the uttermost. And we thank You for each one that's here today, Father, and we ask a blessing upon them. And Father, for those that are out from us for various reasons, we ask a blessing upon them, that Your Spirit You would warm their hearts and let them know that You do love them, that You do care. And Father, for those that may join us later by radio, we ask a special blessing upon them, that as they listen, that Your Word might be implanted in their hearts, that it might bring forth fruit unto You. And we thank You, Father, for Your goodness and Your mercy that You have toward us. We thank You for the precious promises that we have in Your holy Word. And Father, we ask that You would let Your Spirit be active in our lives, that the Word of God becomes rich and real and meaningful to each and every one of us. And we thank You now, Father, for what You're going to do as Your Word goes forth. And Father, for those that are in the hospitals, we ask that You would be with them and bless them and help them. And Father, for those that are sin sick and lost and groping in darkness, we would ask, Father, that You would let Your Spirit go forth and take the Word of God, that it might break that old stony heart, that they might look to Thee and be saved. Thank You, Father, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, in 1 John chapter 1 and chapter 2, you'll find a sequence in here that's very interesting. Verse 7, you'll find that first the light comes. And of course we remember when the first thing that God did when He spoke this universe into existence was say, "Let there be light." The Spirit of God moved abroad upon the face of the earth, and there was light. And that's the first thing that happens when a soul turns to God. That light comes in. And when the light comes in, we begin to see ourselves. And when we see ourselves, in verse 8, it says that we admit. We confess. We admit that we are sinners. The light comes, we see ourselves as sinners before a righteous and holy God. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, which means when Adam fell, all fell. This is the reason that we The Bible tells us that we must be born again. We're born into this world a natural man. The scripture says that which is first is natural. And then we have what is called a new birth, born from above, when we receive Christ. And when we receive Christ, we have that new nature. We're born after the Spirit. And in verse 9, it goes, if we confess our sins, after we come to the light comes in, we admit our sins, and then we confess those sins. And it says that He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So you see how it goes? All right, in chapter 2 and verse 5, it says that we become obedient. Now this is interesting, isn't it? You see how it goes through the whole sequence. In verse 5 it says, but whosoever keepeth His word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we know Him and are in Him. That is obedience. When the light comes in, we admit that we're sinners, we confess our sins, we become obedient children. We obey His word. And verse 6 of chapter 2, it says, He that also that abideth in Him ought himself also to walk even as He walked. You see, now after we become obedient, there is a walk. And this is what we want to look at today, this walk that Christians have. You see, we walk after the Spirit. And then in verse 10, there's another one. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. Now look at that. He that is abiding. You see, the scripture says Jesus is the true vine, and except we abide in him, we cannot bring forth fruit. And here we see all the way through, first the light comes, then we admit we're sinners. We confess our sins. We become obedient to God, and then we begin the Christian walk, and then we begin abiding in Him. And this is where that we are today as Christians. We're to abide in that vine. We're to receive all the strength that God has for us. The sap, in other words, comes up from up through the tree, goes out to the branches, and supplies all is necessary to bring forth fruit. And so the scripture teaches us that we are to abide in Him, that in our life we might bring forth fruit. And John, the epistle of John chapter 1 verse 1, it says, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes and have looked upon, and our hands have handled, the word of life. That which was from the beginning, before the beginning that Jesus was. He was with the Father. Now verse 2 says, for the life was manifested, and we have seen it. The life which was manifested was Christ, who came down from heaven, walked among us for 33 years, was nailed to the cross, was buried, but the third day He arose again. The life was manifested. The Word became flesh. Now look, it says, and bear witness and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. You see, it was manifested. They heard and they seen. Look at verse 3. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that you also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son. That which we have seen and heard. They not only seen it and heard it. They did both. And when we go to court and come up for a witness, this is what that the judge wants to hear. He doesn't want hearsay. He wants facts. And this is what he's dealing with here, is facts. It says, which we have seen. They seen the Lord Jesus Christ. They heard Him. And said, we declare it unto you that ye may also have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And verse 4, and these things write we unto you for what purpose? What was the purpose of these things that he's writing unto it? That your joy may be full. That your joy may be full. That is the purpose of the Word of God. That your joy may be full. It is the only place that you're going to find any comfort in this life, is in the Word of God. It's there. Now, someone may speak to you out of the Word of God and you find comfort. But if you want comfort and you want joy in your life, then come to the Word of God. This is the purpose that this Word is written, that your joy may be full. Now, if you're not a child of God, there won't be much joy because it has nothing for you. The Word of God is not written for the sinners. It's written for His people, the children of God. And we are children by the new birth. But we find that there is a walk of the believers. And here's where most of us are out of it today. We're not walking after the Spirit. We're out walking after the flesh. In other words, minding the things of the flesh. The flesh demands this. I want this. I want that. And we're following around after the flesh. But the Bible tells us in Romans 6:4, therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Now there is the way that you and I as Christians should walk. Walk in the newness of life, because we have died. The scripture said last week that we are dead to sin. Sin shall not have dominion over you. In other words, it cannot have control of your life anymore, because the scripture says, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And it says that we should walk in newness of life. We should walk after the Spirit. In other words, mind the things of the Spirit. Well, how do we know what the things of the Spirit are? They are written in the Word of God. It is the Word of God is God breathed. Every word, it's given by inspiration of God. And it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, correction, that the man of God may be thoroughly furnished unto good works. So you see, the Word of God is God breathed. God gave every word. And so therefore, we should walk in the newness of life. It should be manifested in our life. As Christ came and manifested the Word, then we too should walk in this newness of life. In 2 Corinthians 5:7, it says, for we walk by faith and not by sight. Now, when we become children of God and we walk in this newness of life, we walk by faith and not by sight. In other words, we believe what the Word of God says. We step out in faith. It might not be seen at that particular time, but we believe it, and therefore we walk by faith. Now, the world walks by sight. It wants to see the end results before it goes in. There's very few that will do anything without sitting down and figuring out what the end results will be. But you see, we as Christians, we walk in this newness of life. We turn our life over to Him, and we let Him live His life through us. We come totally dependent, or abiding completely in Him, that we have the strength. So we trust that Christ will live His life through us. And then in Galatians 5:16, this I say, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Now, you want to know how to keep from fulfilling the lust of the flesh and walking around after the old flesh? It says, walk in the Spirit. Walk by the light that Christ has given you by the Word of God. Turn to the Word of God and pray and ask the Lord to guide you daily. Every morning, this should be our prayer. Lord, that you guide me through this day, that you give me the light to walk in the Spirit and not follow around after the flesh, because it says that the ways of the flesh is death, but the walk in the Spirit is life and peace. So we have a choice. Every day we have a choice to make what we're going to do, what direction we're going to do. If we walk after the flesh, we have problems. It creates problems in our life. But if we walk after that spirit, then it's joy, peace, and love. And then it says in Ephesians 4:1, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherein you're called. See that you walk worthy of the vocation that you're called. Now, God is ashamed of some of us in our daily lives as we walk through this world, as we call ourselves Christians and we go out into the world. And actually, the world couldn't tell us one from the other. They look at them and say, well, they're all the same. But it shouldn't be. The Bible says that we should walk worthy of the vocation wherein we're called, because we are called with a high calling. We have something to glory in, because Jesus says, you've not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit. And how am I going to bring forth fruit in my life if I'm not abiding in the vine who is Christ? So we should continually abide in him. Now, in Ephesians 5:2, it says, and walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us and given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor. It says, walk in love. And it says, by this, in other words, by love you shall know that you are my disciples. In other words, if we have love for one another, we as Christians should care for one another. And this is what sets us apart from the worldly crowd, that we do care for one another, that we can help one another. And when a brother is in trouble, we should pray for him and help him and offer our assistance and show ourselves friendly. This is what the scripture teaches, that we're to show ourselves friendly in the community and love one another and walk worthy of the vocation wherewith we're called. It also says in Ephesians 5:15, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. In other words, walk cautiously as you go through this world. Why? Because you know that the time is drawing near. We're to walk cautiously. It says, try the spirits and see whether they're of God or not, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. And we're living in a day now when we can see these false teachers and false prophets, the foretellers, are going out and going directly against the word of God. And many are turning and going after him, because to the natural man, it sounds good, it sounds reasonable, but yet it's totally against the word of God. We should walk cautiously. We should know. And how can we find out? Well, how can I be sure that I'm following the right thing? Again, we go back to God's word. Thy word is true. You hear something that you don't know what's wrong, but something just doesn't sound right. Go to the word of God and see what the Bible has to say about it, because his word is true. Now it says in 1 John 1:7, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us. Now look at this. The blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from what? All sin. Look at that. We walk in the light, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, what do? We have fellowship one with another. This is what we are. We're one body in Christ. We have fellowship one with another. And we're to walk in that light and see what happens. The blood of his son cleanses us. Now look at that. That's continual on cleansing. It just keeps on cleansing from all sin. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. Now, you keep that last part in your mind. It cleanses us from all sin. Now, it doesn't matter the sin that you have committed. It cleanses you from that sin. Whatever sin that you committed, you can put it there. And the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses from all sin. Everything That's the reason that he came forth, that he was manifest to take away our sin. The scripture says, and in him is no sin. In him, that is in Christ, is no sin. He was the perfect sacrifice, the lamb without spot, without blemish, that you and I can come to him and have that eternal life. In 1 John 2:6, it says, he that saith he abideth in him ought himself also to walk even as he walked. Now there's an example. How did he walk? This is what the scripture's telling us. It says that we ought to walk even as he walked. Well, how can we walk even as he walked? Simply because when we come to Christ, we're to die to self, give up self, and let Christ live through us. We're to become abiding in him, obedient to him. And the Bible says that we should pray without ceasing. This is what Christians are to do. We need to be instant in prayer. We don't have to get down on our knees or close our eyes or whatever we are. Wherever we're at, we can be instant in prayer. And we need this in this world that we're living in now. Christians have something that we can glory in because Christ has placed us in this body. He has given us that light, and we have admitted that we're sinners, and we've confessed our sins. We've become obedient to him, and we begin that Christian walk, and we become more and more and more abiding or depending upon him. Now, before you come to Christ, you don't depend upon Christ. You depend upon yourself, your bank account, your doctor, your lawyer, your psychiatrist, or something like this. You don't depend upon Christ. Everything that you have depends upon the things of this world or the people of this world. But when you come to Christ, you have one that you can go to. He says, cast all your care upon me because he cares for you. You see what we have as Christian? We have something that we can have that joy in our heart because we know that he is our advocate. In other words, he is one that's sitting at the right hand of God, and he's pleading our cause, and he makes intercession for us. The scripture says we don't even know how we ought to pray. He makes intercession. He takes complete care of us, and this is the reason that we should become abiding or walk by faith, trust. Put everything that we have in it. And I guess I've told you several times before, but it's a good example. It's like my mother when she came to California on the airplane. You know, she didn't have faith in that airplane. She said she never did set her whole weight down on the seat, you know. And so this is the way that we are as Christians. We never really set our whole weight down upon the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is what he would have us to do. Put everything that we have and everything that we are to him and say, Lord, here I am. It's up to you. And you know what? That's exactly what he wants, because says Paul says, in weakness, then I am made strong. But most of us are great big spiritual giants. You know, we go around with, we've got all these things going for us. We're real spiritual giants. But the Bible says that we should pray for weakness, shouldn't we? Because when we're weak, then we're strong. What does that mean? Because when we become weak, we realize that, hey, within myself, I cannot do this. And I become more dependent upon the Lord Jesus Christ. And the more I become dependent upon him, the more he can work in my life. And you know what he'll do? If you have something that you're wrestling with, he'll let you wrestle with it. It'll just be like Jacob wrestling with the angel until you come to that joint's thrown out of place. In other words, he become disabled. And this is the way that God will let us do. He'll let us wrestle with it, that he'll teach us that we can't do with anything with it anyway. And this is the reason that we should write and keep in mind, for this I have Jesus, whatever the situation, because our God is a God of all circumstances. He can take care of us as long as we abide in him. We come to the place, I have no strength of my own, Lord, I can't make it. There's no sap in me. I can't do it. But you can. And this is what he wants to be. He wants to be let go and let him be who he says he is. God of this universe, the Lord of my life, operating in me. And this is what the Christian life is all about. I'm supposed to be out here dead to sin and him living his life through me. But you know, we have problems with those old flesh, don't we? But look at this now in Romans, the 8th chapter. So the verse 8, it said, so then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Now here we are. They that are in the flesh cannot please God. But now listen to this. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Now look at that. The Scripture says that we're not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now when you accept Christ as your Savior, the Spirit of God comes to dwell within you. The Scripture teaches that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit and God dwells within you. This is what takes place when we become believers, all right? And it says, verse 10, and if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. If Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, all right? Verse 11, but if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, now listen to that, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also do what? Quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Look at that. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, Christ in you, the hope of glory. He that raised up Christ from the dead, look what he's going to do, shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Look at verse 12. Therefore, brethren, we're debtors, not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. 13. For if you live after the flesh, what's going to happen? Look at this now. Ye shall die. But if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the Spirit of adoption whereby we cry, Abba, Father. In other words, we come to the place where we let your will be done and not mine. We come to the place that Spirit, our cup, begins to run over. We become full of the Spirit of God, and it begins to run over, and we come to the place where we're obedient children, and we begin to say, not my will, but thine be done. And when we come to that place where we can turn our lives over and realize that God is on the throne and that he can take care of my life, he can take care of all my situations, and he does love me. He loved me so much that he gave his son. And I can give myself wholly to him and let him live his life through me and surrender my own life and my will to the will of the Father. Verse 16, the Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are, look at that now, that we are the children of God. It doesn't say that we will be, but it says we are right now the children of God by faith in Jesus Christ. What by faith in Jesus Christ we are right now the children of God. Isn't that wonderful? And how can I become a child of God? How can I make it? And when we go back to 1 John chapter 1 and 2, what do we find? We find that first the light comes in. And what is light? Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my pathway. The word of God is light. When the word of God comes into the heart, we have to admit that we are sinners. And when we admit it, then we confess it. And then we become obedient children. We begin to walk. And then we become abiding in him. And this is the top of the ladder when we become abiding in him, depending wholly upon him. Believe that he is who he says he is, that he is God, and that he can take care of my life. And you know something? He can do so much better job than I can do with my life. All I can do, I found out one time, was make one great big old mess. That's all it was. One great big old mess. But I found out that he can give you a new life. He can put within you a new heart, a new mind. He can make you a new creation, And this time, he doesn't leave you to flounder around on your own, to do your own thing and make a mess of things. If you go to making a mess of things, he chastises you and gets you back where that you're walking after the Spirit and not after the flesh. Now, a lot of us are hard-headed. My wife says amen. But anyway, we're hard-headed. And it takes a lot of chastising to get us back. Now, chastising is not punishment, but it's correction, because he loves us as Father loves his little children. He chastises us, and he gets us back in that walk with him. And the reason is, the Scripture tells you, the reason that he chastises you to get you back in that walk, that we should not be condemned with the world. That is the reason, that we should not be condemned with the world. Because you see, Christ is coming back for his children. And he's going to take his children out some of these days. And he doesn't want to come back and find us here condemned with the world. Now, Lot was in such a state as that, wasn't he, in the Old Testament? There was that Lot in the gate. He chose that green valley over there, and he was walking by sight. He said, boy, that's beautiful over there. And Abraham, you can take this over here, because there's nothing over there but old desert and cactus. And I'll take this over here. But he got over there in that place, and, you know, it says that him seeing those sins of those people, it vexed his righteous soul from day to day. And here was Abraham, even though he'd taken this old desert place over here, what was he doing? You see, he had the Spirit of God abiding in him, and he was over there praying for his nephew Lot, praying for Lot. And he even went to God, and he said, God told Abraham, he said, I'm going to destroy Sodom. And he was concerned about his nephew, and he went to God, and he said, if there's 50 righteous in that city, will you destroy it? And God said, no, if there's 50 righteous, I won't destroy it. Then he came down to 30 and 20 and 10. And when he got down to 10, God didn't answer him anymore. So God didn't destroy it. Before he destroyed Sodom, he sent two angels in to get his man out of that place. So the judgment of God fell upon and destroyed that whole city. But you see, by living and walking after the flesh, he went out and he went and told his family. He said, look, he said, the judgment of God is coming. We've got to get out of this city. And they looked at him and they said, why, that's just idle tales. They didn't believe him. They wouldn't believe him. So the angels took him by his hand, Mrs. Lot and the others, and they set him outside the city. They couldn't destroy that city until they were out of there. And when they were set out, then the city was burned up. But I want you to notice something that Lot did. Through that, he lost his family. He lost his family. Mrs. Lot had a lot of finery back there in the big city. And God told him, don't look back. But Mrs. Lot disobeyed. She turned around and looked back, and she was turned to a pillar of salt. So the Bible teaches that we should walk after the Spirit, having food and raiment, be satisfied therewith. Be content. Paul said, I've learned to be content in whatever state I am. Because why? He was abiding in Christ, and he knew that he could do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Of my own self, I can do nothing. But through Christ, I can do all things. Isn't that wonderful that we have a Savior that loves us that much? May not be anybody in this world that loves us, but there's one that loves you. God loves you. And God's going to see you through this old world. Oh, it gets rough sometimes. It gets hard as we go on our daily walks. And it's hard to understand at times. But there he is, watching over us, loving us. And he said, just come to me. I have more love for you than you can ever contain. And I want to give it to you. Some have said this world is starved for love. Not so. Not so. There's so much love that God has to give to man. that man says, no, no, I don't want that. I can't see it. And if I can't see it, I don't want it. He's walking after sight. And then there's those who are in Christ says, yes, I want that love. I want to feel that love of God in my heart. And they turn and accept Christ. And Christ comes to live his life in you. And then you're never alone. Never alone. No matter where you go. You may be in a crowd and feel like you're the only one, but yet you have the presence of Christ with you. You have that knowledge of knowing that he is dwelling within. You can feel his presence. Though the whole world hates you, may be against you, but he's for you. And I'd rather have the Lord on my side than everybody in this whole world. One with the Lord is a majority.